Accessible television equipment. The United Kingdom scoops the U.S. A lot of people think that television, of course, is visual. Consequently, blind people aren't interested. But those in the United Kingdom have been working on this. To present this item, we have the head of accessibility, the head of digital inclusion from the Royal National Institute of Blind People in London. Here is Richard Orme.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Now, I'm here today to share with you some amazing developments in television access that we're proud to be enjoying today in the UK. These aren't projects I'm talking to you about. This isn't vaporware. These are products on the market today. Now, I've run sessions on this subject with the UK government in London, for the European Commission in Brussels. I've been in Tokyo, in Japan, and last month I was invited to speak on this issue in Beijing, in China. But I'm especially delighted to be here in Dallas today with friends from NFB. Now, you know that the reputation of the Federation is known all around the world. I've met with some of your technical experts on many occasions, and they're acknowledged to be some of the leading thinkers on accessibility. I've also heard over the last couple of days some passionate and well-argued contributions from delegates here in this room. If I can be as articulate and interesting as you are, I'll be pleased with that. So it's an honour and a privilege to have the opportunity to speak with you. So I'm going to talk to you today about how accessible television exists today in the UK. And I want to ask you to think about what that might mean in the future for other consumer products. You heard earlier from Kevin Carey, chair of R&IB, so you know a little about us. Like NFB, we're driven by our members. We work on issues that are identified as priorities by them. And it isn't just Americans who watch a lot of television. In the UK, there are more televisions than people, and on average, we watch more than 4 hours a day. And that goes for blind people too, as Dr. Maurer said. So when, for us, television was identified as an important issue for us to work on some years ago, we considered this to have two key aspects: the programme content and the equipment. I'll speak briefly on the content. And as all of us know, I think, a widely understood concept is captions that make programs easier for people who are deaf or hearing impaired. And the equivalent for blind people is video description, which in the UK we call audio description, just to be different. This is, of course, an additional audio track, an optional track, that describes the actions, facial descriptions, clothing and scenery in order to give a better understanding of what's happening on the screen. And I see that this week NFB have been hosting training sessions for describers, so I know this is a service familiar to many of you. In the UK, audio description is very popular. When we polled our members last year, in round numbers, 80% of our blind members were using audio description on television, and 40% of our partially sighted members. 85% of those who are using it wanted us to encourage broadcasters to produce even more. So how much is available? There are currently 69 TV channels in the UK that carry audio description. Now, these aren't the minority channels, these are the most popular channels. They're required to describe at least 10% of their programmes as part of their licence. And a couple of years ago, the leaders amongst them volunteered to double their output. And that's what they're doing now. Many broadcasters produce more than a third of their programmes with video description. Here's an interesting thing for you. Lots of American shows and movies are broadcast in the UK with audio description. Because when they come in from the US, British broadcasters produce the audio description track before they're aired. So there's lots of content that you guys could be having in the US. But whilst making the program content accessible is important, so too is the equipment, and that's really what I want to focus on. Navigating the many, many TV channels and radio channels, because we get those on our television as well, is challenging if you find the on-screen menus, the pop-up messages, and the grids difficult or impossible to read. So people were frustrated with the difficulty of finding the programs they wanted to watch, planning their viewing, setting recordings, and controlling their TV service. And that was the challenge we set out to solve. We started talking with TV manufacturers about how to make television accessible to blind people. Now, in Europe, there was lots of fine talk from politicians about digital inclusion. And for us, that's not just about people using computers or the internet. It's about being able to participate in the full range of digital services, to be a customer in the modern world, and that absolutely included digital television. But when we met with manufacturers, they told us it simply wasn't possible to make televisions usable by blind people. We worked with universities to provide demonstrators to show how it might work. We developed prototypes to show it was technically possible. But despite lots of encouragement from our members and several working groups with industry, there was still no product in the market for people to buy. On one memorable occasion, I was told in a meeting with a trade association it was not viable to make television accessible. I was deluded. Do you think I'm deluded?
No!
So, we set out to prove them wrong. RNIB partnered with companies that make television equipment, and with our know-how and their knowledge of bringing products into the market, we developed the world's first talking set-top box, which was launched in 2010. Now, this is a regular product, it's not a blindness product. It's from a recognized UK brand. It's available through regular shops, from Amazon, and of course from RNIB. But it just happens to talk. All the menus talk, all the channel announcements talk, the program guide, they all talk. A fully talking TV experience. Now, this was a milestone. We were proving that this was possible. And since then, more than 10,000 homes in the UK have this product. Now, this is called the Smart Talk. I bought one of them in my suitcase, but I don't demonstrate it anymore. It's old hat because I've got even more exciting developments to share with you. Once people knew that talking television was real, they wanted even more, of course. In particular, they wanted the ability to record programs, to schedule a favorite TV show, to pause and rewind live TV. They wanted to do this on a unit that had lots of hard disk space, could work with high definition video and audio, and was fully accessible with the best quality synthetic speech available. Of course, it needed to be affordable, actually the same price as everything else. So we partnered with one of the leading UK manufacturers that already produced a popular range of hard disk recorders. And we made the entire interface speak. This was launched earlier this year, and it's available now in leading department stores, electrical retailers, from Amazon, and of course, from RNIB. And even better, if you bought one of their boxes last year, a free software upgrade over the internet means the box starts to talk. The talking features work across their product range, so there's actually a choice of four different models, accessible out of the box, and of course the talking features, as I said, don't cost any extra. I brought one of these boxes in my suitcase with me as well. Now, most people in the UK receive TV through a rooftop aerial. I know that's a bit different to the US. Coverage is very high, and you get around 80 good quality TV stations through that. But, you know, satellite TV is there for people who want more choice. So at RNIB, we showed how it was possible to plug in a small additional unit into any one of the 10 million existing satellite boxes in the UK to provide talking features. From our prototype, the network went and developed this as a product, which they call SkyTalker. It's used now to provide basic talking features to satellite subscribers who are blind. And we're talking to them about providing more comprehensive features as a built-in feature on newer equipment models. And of course, I brought a SkyTalker with me as well. I actually had to go out and buy a bigger suitcase with these things I'm bringing. So whether you watch TV through a rooftop aerial or satellite, in the UK, you can have lots of TV programs with audio description on accessible equipment. Now, would you like some of that magic in the US? I thought you might say that. But you know, I saved the best news till last. Has anyone heard of Panasonic? Well, until now, I've been talking about UK or European brands, and now we're talking about the big boys. When Kevin and I, Kevin Carey, who you heard earlier, visited Panasonic headquarters in Japan 2 years ago, they listened very attentively and politely to our messages about television access. But we didn't know what would come of that. Some months later, they asked for a meeting at our London headquarters to talk about some ideas they had, and then we worked with them over the next few months to produce... Well, actually, rather than me talking, I'll run a video at this point. This is video 3. There are 4 stars in this film. We've got Paul, who's a blind man who lives in London. Lane is a member of our staff at RNIB who works to encourage manufacturers to make television accessible. Mark is someone who works for Panasonic. He'll introduce himself too. And the last star you'll hear is a talking Panasonic television with built-in text-to-speech. Let's run that video.
I'm Paul Porter, and I've been completely blind all my life. Contrary to what people might think, blind and partially sighted people do watch a lot of TV, and I would certainly put myself in that category. For the last 10 years or so, we've had audio description, which has been great, but now we've got a TV that gives me access to a lot more information that's visually on screen that I haven't previously had access to.
In voice guidance on.
The great thing about the new range of Panasonic TVs is that when you get it out of the box, if you follow instructions, you can turn voice guidance on and it will help you set up things like audio description and then give you access to the electronic program guide so you can find out what's coming up within the next 7 days.
4, 5, 6, ITV2.
The problem has been that as TVs have got more complicated, we had... I guess, a few channels before. Now we've got digital TV, you've got 20, 30 channels, and keeping up to date with what's on is difficult. But with the voice guidance, you've got that information at your fingertips. Also, choosing the channel you want to watch is easier. You know what's coming up. You can browse through the listings the same as anyone else. So your TV experience matches that of anyone who can see.
News and factual, the latest national and international news stories from the BBC News team.
I'm Lane Petray, I'm Principal Manager of the Media and Culture Department in RNIB. RNIB worked really closely with Panasonic to develop this new feature called Voice Guidance. So once Panasonic had decided that they wanted to implement this technology and thereby make their televisions more accessible for blind and partially sighted people through text-to-speech, RNIB was on hand with our experts to provide advice on how to implement the feature, and we also did very detailed testing with blind and partially sighted people.
I'm Mark Vasey. I'm Assistant General Manager for Panasonic TVs in the UK. Panasonic has just developed a talking TV, and the reason for doing that is one of our main business policies is to contribute towards society, and certainly accessibility is one way that we can do that. The RNIB were able to provide us with a great deal of experience and knowledge based upon their experience of working with other product manufacturers. They were also able to provide us with testing using blind and partially sighted users based upon a prototype TV that we developed. And this provided us with a huge amount of knowledge on what implementation worked well and what needed to be improved.
I've had this TV a few days now, and within a few minutes I was up and running. I was turning the voice guidance on, I was looking at the various options, changing the speed, changing the volume, then going into the program guide to find out what was coming up in the next few minutes, and in fact, the next few days.
Cash in the attic, robbed. Raided, reunited 11 o'clock to 11:30.
What's fantastic about voice guidance is that this feature is implemented in the entire Panasonic range for 2012, and people can buy TVs with the feature just from the high street like anyone else. They don't need to do anything special and they don't need to pay extra for the feature.
Panasonic has a continuous roadmap for improvement. We've already introduced 30 TVs within our 2012 model lineup. We're now starting our journey for our 2013 models. We are going back through a lot of the recommendations that the RNIB made with an intention to make sure that those improvements are integrated into the next generation. But we're also looking to increase the number of languages that we support as well. Currently, we support English only. Next year's models, we plan to try and expand this to as many European languages as possible.
For me, having the Panasonic TV with voice guidance has made watching TV and choosing what programme I want to watch much more of an enjoyable experience. I don't just have to hope for the best by looking through the channels and trying to figure out what's on by listening to the audio. I can now choose in advance.
Great. Okay, I'll be quick. So let me underline what you heard there. All the 2012 range of Panasonic TVs have built-in text-to-speech, 30 models, the basic range through to the biggest sets that footballers and investment bankers buy, all available through rooftop and through satellite TV. Now, I couldn't fit one of these TVs in my suitcase, I'm afraid, but I strapped it to the outside and I brought it here to show you. Our members are delighted, Panasonic are thrilled, and as you heard, they're rolling out across Europe. Two thoughts from me, just to close. Firstly, the TV industry is highly competitive, so when one company introduces a feature, the others often follow. And secondly, manufacturers like Panasonic don't just make TVs, they make Blu-ray players, telephone, mobile phones, washing machines, cookers, refrigerators, and heating controls. They will find ways to reduce the cost of text-to-speech and hopefully bring the benefit of text-to-speech to a wider range of products. Just to finish, the title of this session was that UK scoops the US. I've described how we've got 37 talking TV products in the market in the UK. We've got 69 channels producing hundreds of hours of audio described programming. We've come a long way since I was told I was deluded. Now, none of these products will work in the US, but the systems are different, but the principles are the same. We have shown what is possible. If we can achieve at RNIB what we have, imagine what the powerful voice of the NFV can do. It's completely possible for you to have accessible TV in the US, and who knows where this will lead us. Dream, believe, and achieve. Colleagues have very kindly organised a room for me to set up and have some equipment for you to see in the break over lunch. I will be in Rosetta, which is in the atrium mezzanine, in that lunch break, and you're welcome to come along and see this equipment working. Thank you very much for your attention.
Really great. Thank you, Richard. It isn't just for sighted people. We want to get at it too. I appreciate it very much, Richard. It's great to have you here as a friend, as a colleague, as a joint supporter of what we're doing in this country and around the world.